It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 543. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I have one voicemail for later in the show, and that's about a Windows 8.1 question I'm going to need your help with. And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and facebook.com/MikeNationNet. Also have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows. I did notice the wiki's getting kind of old, hasn't been updated in a little bit, so I will see what I can do about getting it updated. There you'll find the link to the past shows, which will link up the audio, all of the show notes, everything you need, the Mike Tech Show, and an easy place to just get all information about the show. I have a great show lined up, and this is one of those shows where I need your feedback. I'm going to talk about a couple things that I'm doing a certain way with my clients this past week, and I want to know how you do the same thing. Also, the voicemail I have, I'm going to need your help with answering that. I also have one email that I don't have an answer for. I only can draw from my experience to be able to answer everything. So lots of times I don't have the answer, and that's what this is all about, where your input, my opinion, and we mix it up and we get answers for everything. So this is one of those shows. Take the time, record me a voicemail and send it in. And also write me and send me an email to respond to some of this. So the first item is the internet upload speed is being limited by the router. Now, I'm having a tough time with this one. My client has Comcast, and they have the deluxe 75 meg package. So they're guaranteed 75 meg down. The uplink, they're only going to get 15 meg up. At the back of the Comcast router, I get 85 down, and I get 17 up. So anytime I go to multiple test sites, so when you go to speedtest.net, make sure you click a couple servers in a couple different cities so you can get multiple results. I get a little more than what Comcast is promising. So we're happy. This customer has 8x8 for their phone service, and they have the Polycom phones and their gig switches. All of a sudden, a few weeks ago, and this might have been there all along, we just never measured, my client only was getting 1 meg up. Down was fine, but 1 meg seemed to be capping the uplink. It would actually be a meg or maybe even less than a meg, so it really impacted performance. They have this D-Link router, the DI, I think 655 or something like that, that 8x8 provided with the quality of service for the VoIP. When I plugged into the back of that router, I'm getting less than a meg up. So it's got to be the router. So we quickly get a Linksys E2000 router. I change the QoS for the phone. I get it programmed for everything we need. I put it in. And that's what we need. We need more of a business grade router, because now I can't even find the latest firmware. I don't know what Linksys is doing. And I even tried tech support. They said, well, the website's being worked on and updating. I cannot find the latest firmware for the Linksys E2000 router. If you have a link, please email me, because now we're getting 4.5 meg up. So we've made a little improvement, but still there's something on the router that is hindering our uplink speed. So I want to get some recommendations for, I need inexpensive routers. We're not going to spend $400 or $500. It's a very small business. We want to try to keep it at a $300 price point. Let me know what the best routers you would recommend for $300 or under, and we'll try another router. Or if you can, if anybody has access to the latest E2000 firmware and you see a link, send it my way, because I know I can't find it when I check Linksys. There's one download, and that Windows download, it's for setup only. It does not contain the firmware. I know. So don't send me a link just to that Windows setup program that's there, because I've done it and it doesn't work. It's not the firmware. I want to get the firmware, try that, see if that helps, because a lot of the forums suggest that. But it's frustrating. We've made significant improvement, at least going to 5 meg up, but we want to get this that 15 to 17. Next, for the client that has all of the new systems and the new server, there's lots of services that need to be documented for the licensing. And to give you an example, the Office 2013 license, the Adobe Acrobat that we purchased license, the BitLocker keys, the identifier and the key, the Malwarebytes premium keys. There are a ton of numbers, the Dell service tag, the Windows product key. The only way I have it is a spreadsheet. I guess that seems to make sense, and it's password protected. And that's what my client and I use. And that's what I was actually gathering last night. I was literally running SIW on every one of the systems, saved it as a file. Then on the server, I logged in with Instant House Call, zipped up the file, and then emailed it to myself because it's very small. I did the same with the BitLocker keys, because now we're all Windows 8.1 Pro 64-bit. And when I went to encrypt the system, it needed the key saved, and I saved that on a network share in a folder that has the system name. I took all of them. They're very small text files. I zipped that up, emailed it to myself. Now, last night, I went through building out the spreadsheet. As I was doing this, I'm like, there's got to be a better way, or is this the best way? Like your input, what are you doing to track this information for your clients that have multiple systems and just a ton of keys and product keys? Really, I guess the best way is a spreadsheet, where I just have the system name, the username going down, the system name in another column, and then another column with the operating system. The reason why we have a few operating systems that are the laptops that I'm working on are Windows 7 Ultimate 64-bit. They're not Windows 8.1. And we're going to Ultimate because they've already purchased Ultimate in the last round of systems 5 years ago. And at least we can turn on BitLocker. So we're moving away from TrueCrypt, and we're going to get into a discussion about that later on, because there's an email actually with a link that I'm going to review about this very topic, about TrueCrypt. So I'd like to know how are you collecting information? the information for all of the licensing for all the computers? And then secondly, how are you consolidating that and reporting on that for your client? Would like to know. Here is the voicemail from Dave. It's about Windows 8.1.
Hello, Mike. My name is Dave Mazzaferro. I've been a listener for the past 2 years, and I have a small side business as a computer tech, and I've learned a lot from you over the years. I appreciate what you do and the help you've been to so many people. I have a problem of my own this time that I'm unable to solve, and it's driving me crazy. I purchased a new HP Envy 17 i7 with 12 gigs of RAM, and I'm running Windows 8.1. It's a very nice laptop. However, I'm having trouble with the apps constantly crashing and then refusing to open. I've researched it. I've tried all the suggestions. The most frequent suggestion is that it's a permissions problem. I followed all the instructions step by step on several different websites, but still no luck. I then thought maybe one of the malware spyware programs I was running was deleting or corrupting a file. I only run the malware programs that you've talked about and endorse. So finally, I refreshed my laptop and started over. The apps would work for a few days and then quit working again. I've refreshed my laptop a few times since then, and the same thing happens every time. Reinstalling my programs is getting a little old. Finally, I thought I would start from scratch, so I backed up all of my files. I used the restore disks that I created to do a complete reinstall, and I didn't install any programs. I wanted to wait for a few days first. Well, within a few days, the app started crashing again and will not open. A few of them will open, but the majority will not. The Windows Store is one of the ones that won't open, so I can't even download the apps again. At this time, I'm out of ideas, so just wondering if you might have any thoughts or heard of anyone else having this problem. Appreciate any insight from you or one of your listeners. Thanks, Mike. I'll be listening.
Dave, I don't know if this is going to help. I'm going to describe something similar that I talked about in a past show, but I don't know if this is going to help you. I have a client that was not using an online Microsoft account that had Windows 8, and he upgraded to 8.1, and none of his apps would work. They would crash. We had to create a Microsoft account online, then have his system married to that account, then went in and re-downloaded each of the apps from the App Store, and it worked, and they never crashed again. So the first question I have, are you using a real Microsoft online created account? If you're not, I recommend that. I don't know. It doesn't sound like that's your problem, but you really need to do that and then go to the Microsoft Store and download the apps again and see if that fixes the problem. Does anyone else have any other ideas? That's the only one I have. So really need your help. It just doesn't make sense that he has to keep reinstalling and re-imaging his system to try to use the apps. I'm wondering if you have a driver problem with the video. Did you check the hard drive? I would run the standard tests. I would also make sure you do a memory test. You need to run the MEM test. You need to run Crystal Disk Info. Is there a problem with the hard drive? You need to make sure you got the latest, greatest video drivers. What about firmware for the system? What about the system BIOS? Make sure you're at, this is one of those times where I do recommend you be at the latest, greatest of everything, because this could help solve your problem. So you didn't cover any of those areas, so this is some more things to try. And then I'm also soliciting help from everybody who's listening. What can Dave try to fix this? And it's been a few weeks since you left me this voicemail, Dave, and I apologize. I've been so busy. It's been hard getting to my Skype and then downloading and getting all the voicemails ready. And luckily, there was only one there, yours. Did you resolve this now that I'm covering it? And if you did, how did you resolve it? And let me know so I can share this with everybody. You're going to create a Microsoft account if you didn't already, and then redo the apps, see if that fixes the problem. You're going to test your memory. You're going to test the hard drive. You're going to video adapter. You're going to make sure you got the latest, greatest BIOS. And then let's see what happens. We have a couple emails here. This is from Will, and it's the Mini Tool versus Acronis. Now, I was talking about weeks ago Acronis Unlimited or Acronis Ultimate Unlimited. I forget the name. They have so many different. Yeah, that's a problem with Acronis, which he addresses here. They got so many different versions, so many different things. Well, I know the Unlimited. I just love the cloning and backup aspect, especially the cloning option that you can make a bootable USB stick that you can clone a drive. To me, very important as I'm upgrading to SSD drives. This is Will. Thanks for all you do, giving advice and tech hints and business tips, etc. Just finished watching show 538 with the multiple cloning of hard drives to SSDs. I do a regular routine of duplicating and swapping a running system as well as data backup. After building my first Windows 7 system, I discovered my old Acronis would not recognize the new 100 meg boot partition. After looking at a half a dozen various cloning utilities, a friend recommended Minitool. I think they're the Taiwanese with USA ties. The free version is UEFI GPT capable and will sector align SSDs. I do not use proprietary backup imaging, so I find that Acronis backup unnecessary. I like the direct simplicity of Minitool. The only function it lacks is auto resizing from a larger to smaller target volume, but shrinking the source volume will easily solve that problem. But that is something that's nice that Acronis takes care of. When I discovered the UEFI 100 meg boot partition on Windows 7, I thought I was up the creek as far as my cloning cycle was concerned, but Minitool saved the day. It handles cloning the whole drive and duplicating all the Windows 7 partitions, including the technically unallocated 100 meg boot in one easy operation. So does mine. The Acronis takes care of that. It's just that you didn't use the newer version. I'll make an annual donation to Minitool, but I'll do it voluntarily. I have used Acronis and CloneZilla in the past, but wanted something with clear graphic UI and multi-platform capability and UEFI GPT SSD capable as well. I thought I was going to face a difficulty finding a cloning utility as good as Acronis. I simply refuse to rent software, I understand. So I will never participate in the Acronis licensing scheme. I also find Acronis' confusing array of programs to be not only unnecessarily expensive, but the selection simply strange. Perhaps as a commercial consultant, you find the annual license rental to be economically feasible. Acronis is a Russo-German conglomerate, so their notions of software utilities may be different than what we simplistic Americans expect. Why does there have to be more than two or three variations of a home use and or pro commercial cloning and backup application? Acronis is testing the limits of credibility by implying that there are so many disparate kinds of utilitarian software job titles while at the same time implying you must run up a huge bill and buy them all so they will work together. In my view, their website adverts show a lot of function overlap and duplication. Goodbye, Acronis. Hello, Minitool. And this is Will from Indy. I will find the link. Will, you didn't include the link for the utility. I will find that and put it in the show notes. I agree with you to an extent. Renting software seems to be the model for everybody. Look at what Adobe's done. Unless you have a brand new version with incredible features coming out every year, so you can go buy all of the software every year, and then people won't buy because maybe, oh, you don't want that feature, there's no regular revenue stream for the software manufacturers. So they want you to rent the software. This is a problem for us because now we got to pay for it like a monthly fee forever or an annual subscription rate for the software. I don't like it, but I get it. And that's where everybody's heading to. You can't have that one utility anymore and hold on to it forever like the old days. Use it and then use it for 10 years. The companies need a regular revenue stream. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I understand and I accept it. And I build that into my cost model for my business. Now, all that aside, yes, I think it's very confusing. As a matter of fact, the tech who was trying to describe way back the version that I needed had difficulty, and we had to look it up and read it several times to make sure it was the right version for the Acronis product that would properly do the cloning. And it shouldn't have been that difficult. It's like Microsoft. Stop it with all the different versions and all the different, keep it tight, keep it clean, keep it easy. We understand there should be a home and a pro version of an operating system. That's it. Stop there. Don't make any more versions. Software companies need to simplify the different versions. That I completely agree. And Acronis, it is difficult to know what utility does what, and there's some overlapping, and then, this particular brand doesn't do it, this one does. I get it. I agree with you. For what I'm doing, I will check out the mini tool only to make sure, is it easy to use as Acronis was? And if it fits and does what I need to do with the ease of use, then I will gladly donate so they can continue to upgrade and continue with new versions of the software, and I will support that, and I would stop using Acronis. So I'll take a look at that, and for all of you, take a look at Minitool here and decide. A couple more emails. We have IT Shop Software. Now, I'm not sure if I've read this email, but one thing I do know, if I did read it, I haven't gotten any response to it. This email is from Chris. I work helping a small computer shop furbish computers and sell them. We need a database and POS system. What do you recommend? Thank you. For a small shop, this is a great question. What is a good point? POS is point of sale. What's a good point of sale system for a small IT shop? Let me know, because I don't have shops. I don't even support shops with that have a POS, really. Or if they do, it's proprietary. I'll give you an example. There is restaurant software, and I have two restaurants that use, I forget the brand of the POS system, but they use a nice point of sale system. Everybody else has custom software or vertical software for their a particular field in their office. So I don't have a lot of retail locations that I support. So I don't run into a lot of point of sale systems. What's a good inexpensive one for a small IT shop? And let me know. I know I'm going to get feedback there, hopefully. So let me know, and I'll discuss it on a future show. TrueCrypt security audit concludes that there's no NSA backdoor. This is from Kevin. He sent this link a while ago, and I meant to get to it. And it's very relevant that the security audit of TrueCrypt disk encryption software has been completed with no evidence of any critical design vulnerabilities or deliberate backdoor in its code. The problem with TrueCrypt is there's no support behind it. The authors of TrueCrypt abandoned it, what, more than a year ago, where they just surprisingly pulled away and said, okay, we don't support it anymore. We're not going to make any more improvements, no more upgrades, and everybody should go to BitLocker. There's no existing problem with TrueCrypt. I still have a retainer client that has a lot of laptops in the field with TrueCrypt because they have Windows 7 Professional. They don't have Ultimate. And I just had a long discussion with the owner, and we've decided we're going to stay the course with TrueCrypt until they're going to be doing system upgrades. Probably in a year, they're going to need new laptops. That's when everything will be 5 years old. And I try to guide my clients into a five-year life cycle. Once we have that five-year life cycle in place, now they start to plan for the next round of systems. The next series of laptops, I said, we will make sure that they're Windows 8.1 Pro, 64-bit, or if Windows 10 is out, it's going to be whatever the version is. If it's Windows 10 Pro, 64-bit, that's what we'll go to. We will turn on BitLocker, and that will be our whole disk encryption solution for the business. Now, Mike, one client that we just finished the upgrade, they were all TrueCrypt, whole disk encryption, and now since they went to new systems, we migrated to BitLocker. So this is my advice. I still have clients that are using TrueCrypt, and I continue to tell them to let's keep using it until we have to replace the system. But I'm not going to start going in and ripping out TrueCrypt right now. There's no evidence that there's a problem, that there is a security risk that would push me into looking for that alternative. And we started looking at Sophos and some other alternatives and started investigating that. We really don't have to go out there and start ripping out TrueCrypt and putting in something in place. So I'm going to let it naturally evolve. When we replace the hardware, I will then upgrade them to a system that has BitLocker support from Microsoft. So I just want to let you know what I'm doing, and I am going to have this link in the show notes about the TrueCrypt audit. So thank you very much. I have some music for tonight's show because it was a little on the shorter side, so I wanted to pick one of my favorite songs, and it's from, I've played this, I might have played this in a show, I'm not sure, but I definitely give it attention in the post show when I play music. And it's one of my favorite songs from Eagle Eye Cherry, and it's acoustic version, Save Tonight. And this was a live Y100, used to be an old radio station in Philadelphia, and it's recorded in Philly in the Sonic Session Studios in Center City, Philadelphia. This is a few years ago. Give a listen to this, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
Yeah. Nice little Sunday vibe. Curtains, 'cause all we need is candlelight, you and me, and a bottle of wine, gonna hold you tonight, ah yeah. Well, we know I'm going away, and how I wish it weren't so. So take this wine and drink with me, let's delay our misery. Save tonight, fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. Same tonight, fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. There's a log on the fire, and it burns like me for you. Tomorrow comes with one desire, to take me away. Oh, well, it's true, it ain't easy to say goodbye. Darling, please don't start to cry. 'Cause girl, you know I got to go. Oh, Lord, I wish it wasn't so. Save tonight, fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. Save tonight, fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. Yeah. Tomorrow comes to take me away. I wish that I could stay. But girl, you know I got to go. Oh, Lord, I wish it wasn't so. Sing tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. Sing tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. I'm telling you now, tomorrow I'll be gone. Yeah, I'm telling you now, tomorrow I'll be gone. Oh, I wish I could stay.
Tomorrow I'll be gone.
Oh, I'm going away now, I'm going away.
Sing tonight.
Thanks a lot. This is exactly what I want to do on a Sunday. Sit around and play some tunes. This is really cool. Thank you.
That was Eagle Eye Cherry and the acoustic version of Safe Tonight. And I will try to find a link for that on Amazon and post it up in the show notes. So that's it for tonight. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Please remember, and everybody has done a phenomenal job last month in using my Amazon link. It started really tailing off for a few months, but last month, the month of April, was a great comeback. And I want to thank everybody for using my link, and that is amazon.micnation.net. Remember, your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Please support our sponsor, Instant House Call, for remote support of your system software, the systems that you need to support. Incredible software. Give it a try. I promise you, you will love it. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Also, Fab's Auto Backup for Tech and Tech Nibbles Business Kit. You have to check that out. Links are in the show notes at MikeTechShow.com. That's it. I'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit TechPodcast.com.